I'm going to do something a little differently. You know, when I look back at my life, the verse comes to mind, to him much is given, much is required. And I look back at where I grew up and how I grew up, and I look even to today. There's been a lot of people that have had a big influence on my life. The current would be, I'd say, probably Pastor Lance. And I think all of us would agree God has used him in a great way. And I know in my life he means a lot. And I'm a better person for being his friend and being one of the church members in his church. But I remember growing up, my pastor was Dallas Dobson. He was who I named Dallas after. And Dallas Dobson had a big impact on my life as well. And there were several sermons, one in particular that really stuck with me and kind of helped mold who I am today. I kind of stole the outline from that, and I'd like to preach it tonight. And it's one of those things where I remember hearing my dad talk about, he's like, listen, when you hear preaching, you can either bristle at it, or you can learn from it and apply it to your life, and it'll if it's godly preaching out of the Word of God, it'll help you improve and help you draw closer to God. Well, this is one of those sermons where it had a big impact on my life, and the title of it kind of sounds kind of funny, is Pikers, Puke Pots, and Pussyfooters. And if you're in my young adult class, Sunday school class, I'm sure you've heard it referenced several times. And so we're gonna take Lord willing, this is what I'm gonna preach. And so take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and we're gonna read verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entered, go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land, to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that I use the message that is found in this passage. And Dear Heavenly Father, I tried to turn away from it, but Dear Heavenly Father, it just seemed like I kept on getting drawn back, and I believe that was you. And I pray that you bless this time we have as we entered into your word. And in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the thing about it is there's two contrasts here. And you know what's interesting is the Bible is full of contrasts. Here you have the woes. And if you look at the Beatitudes in chapter 5, the thing about it is you have blesseds. And so the thing about it is one of these days I think I'm going to teach the young people about the blesseds or the Beatitudes in the Bible. But here you have a group of people, the Pharisees. There are several indictments that Christ makes against these people. Number one is that they're lost and going to hell. You see that in Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against yourselves, for ye neither go in yourselves. And so they're lost and they're on their way to hell. And why is that? Because they're trusting in their own righteousness. And the thing about it is they have all these rituals and they have all these things that they're trusting in to go to heaven. Now, I think being a Sunday night, this isn't a point that needs labored, because I think we all know that the Bible says, for I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here's the thing is the one, the other interesting thing that I saw is let me read it exactly. The Bible says, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. And so the thing about it is that when you look at the Beatitudes, you find eight blesseds. Or it depends upon how you look at it. I seen on the internet that there's 10, and so Pastor, would you weigh in 8 or 10 or 9? So I put him on the spot. So anyways, here's the thing is I expected him to be able to, knowing pastor, he's holding back to make myself look better since I'm preaching. He could probably preach a message on the spot on the Beatitudes. But anyways, I'm not that good. But here's the thing is when you look at Matthew chapter 23, you find 8 woes pronounced against the hypocrites. The thing about it is I know that the Bible is talking about lost people here, but I believe that there are saved and born again people that their attitudes are closing the door to heaven. Instead of inviting them to be saved, they're driving people away. The sad part about it is that there are people in churches across America. Now I don't know of any here in this church, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are none like that here, but the thing about it is there are Christians across America that their attitudes are actually driving people away from Christ instead of driving them towards Christ. And so here's the thing is that we're going to talk about a few P's from this passage tonight, and number one is pikers. And so a piker is a small-time gambler that will not go all the way. They won't go all in with the chips. Now, here's the thing is, I know Jackie's thinking, well, I go all in every time. No, just joking. She's not a gambler. My wife is. And here's the thing is, when we moved to New Jersey, don't ask me why, and I'm going to get in trouble. She had this infatuation with Atlantic City. She wanted to go see it, not inside the buildings, but so I teased her the whole time we were there that she was a gambler. But anyways, the thing about it is that I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have known what a piker was if I hadn't heard it in a sermon. Odd thing to learn in a sermon, I know. But the thing about it is a small time gambler, somebody that will not go all in. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look in verse 23. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says this. As soon as I can turn there. The Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not under man. See, the thing about it is there are a lot of pikers in Christianity. They just don't go all the way. They want to dabble in Christianity. To be nice, we'll call them partial participators. And so the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, when we study this, you know, the thing about it is I tell my kids all the time, and it's something that my dad told me and some pastors told me, is anything worth doing is worth doing right. And so here's the thing is that I'll be honest with you, one of the most convicting things on here is not to be a piker Christian. And so to dive in, to go in all the way, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The thing about it is too many times we as Christians, we're tempted to be a piker. We're tempted to just dabble in Christianity, because the thing about it is you know what? It's like that song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel Prone to Leave the God I Love. I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, I know that you're going to be shocked at this, but you know what? There are times when I have to fight selfishness. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, you know what? We all do. And the thing about it is you know what? That selfishness will turn us into a piker. We want to be selfish with our time. We want to be selfish with our talents. We want to be selfish with our treasure. And the thing about it is that you know what? You know what, the thing about it is a lot of times a piker isn't necessarily against what we're doing at the church. They're just not all in. They are okay as long as somebody else is paying the price. And the thing about it is, you know what's interesting is a piker is somebody that you cannot count on. They're not faithful. And the thing about it is I think all of us have been there. Sometimes we get weary. We get, it seems like there's so much going on in life. The thing about it is we have been doing things heartily as unto the Lord. But you know what? Our flesh starts to kick in. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how many times I remember, thinking, you know what? Boy, I tell you what, it would be nice to do thus and so instead of what I know to do. And I remember this sermon popped into my head, I'm not going to be a piker. Here's the thing is that it's kind of an odd thing to tell yourself, but the thing about it is that listen, pikers just can't be counted on. Those that are faithful, those that are the committed ones, are the ones that carry on the work of God. And see, the thing about it is you know what? Hey, listen, I want it. The Bible says, moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Hey, bless God, I want to be counted as one of the faithful. I don't want to be counted as a piker. I want to be the faithful ones. I want to be the one that God looks down and says, listen, he is counted faithful. You know what? I can trust him to carry on the work. Hey, what work are we talking about? All you got to do is look around and see that there are souls that are dying and going to hell. You know what? All around us, there are people that are in need to know what the love of God is like. There's people that need to know that God is there for them, that God loves them. And the thing about it is that God can meet every need they have. But you know what? If I'm a piker, I'm not going to meet that need. I've got to be faithful. I've got to be faithful. See, here's the thing is that why don't we have more Sunday school teachers? Here's the thing is, all across America, why are young people not being taught the Word of God? Because of pikers. Nobody wants to commit to teach. Nobody wants to commit to do. Thing about it is I'll be honest with you. I believe that we have a church full of faithful people. There's no way that a church our size can do the things that God allows us to do without faithful folks. But the thing about it is that, listen, the different ministries here at the church cannot be ran. If it was ran by pikers, it would fail. A piker is always carnal. He holds back. The thing about it is turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20. You know, the thing about it is don't ever rely on a carnal Christian or a piker. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19, the Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, one thing I do not want to be is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint to my pastor. And so the thing about it is I can't imagine, I don't think it happens that often, but I can't imagine, you know, here's the thing is, I don't want to be one of those people that when pastor relies on me, hey, where's that Pastor Wilman at? Oh, he went on vacation, you know, he went, he's somewhere he's not supposed to be. But the thing about it is you know what? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. See, the thing about it is every bit of us was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, the thing about it is I tell you what, the Bible talks about that we are not redeemed with corruptible things. See, the thing about it is you know what? There is no way that we could get enough gold and enough silver to buy our way into heaven. What happens is that it just can't be done. We can't work our way into heaven. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. Thing about it is it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us. There's no way to heaven but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so the thing about it is that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing is, listen to this. You know, Christ was all in when it came to the cross. Christ was all in. The thing about it is you know what? He was willing to lay down his life on Calvary for us. See, the thing about it is the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If he were to just say, you know what? I'll just go walk up to Calvary and then walk away. I'll start on the path to Calvary, but you know, this isn't for me. Here's the thing is, thank God Christ is perfect and he didn't do that. He says, you know what? I'm going to allow them to nail me to the cross. I'm going to allow them to shove the crown of thorns in my head. I'm going to allow that spear to pierce my side. Why? Because there are people that are dying and going to hell, and the only way for them to get to heaven is if I'm all in and I lay down my life for them. The thing about it is that Christ did it for us. We need to go all in for Christ. We need to give ourselves fully unto God. If there's an area that we say, God, you can have everything but, we're a piker. If we say, God, you know what? You can have all of my talent, but we're a piker. You know what? You can have all of my time or my treasure, but here's the thing is, you know what? We are not all in, and God cannot use us. Listen, when the Bible talks about it, it's the Holy Spirit moving. And anyways, the thing about it is that I lost my train of thought. And the thing about it is that we need to give ourselves fully to God. A piker closes the door to heaven when it should be swung open wide, or tries to close it. They hold back on their talents, which keep ministries from operating and reaching people. They hold back on their time, which keeps visitors from feeling welcome and excited. Listen, there's nothing worse than going to a church function and having a visitor walk in and they look around and there's three church people there. I'll be honest with you. Here's the thing is, I don't know what's going through that visitor's head, but if it was me, I'd be looking around thinking, well, if these church people don't even believe enough to be there, why should I be here? And the thing about it is they hold back on their treasure, which keeps ministries and our church from moving forward. Pastor Dobson used to say, money is ministry. If you have no money, you have no ministry. Now, keep in mind that the love of money is the root of all evil. And the thing about it is we're not out there. We're not in the ministry to get money. And here's the thing is, if you've looked at most preachers in America, you know that hopefully most preachers in America are not in it for the money. And I know ours isn't. But the thing about it is that we need money to reach people. You know, think about the Veterans Service. We've reached a lot of people through the Veterans Service, but it cost money from the faithful folks that gave. So many people were very faithful in giving and helping and serving and doing. You know what? Here's the thing is that's why we've had so many successful Veterans Services is because there was a group of people on the corner of Marion and Beale that decided they were all in. And so the thing about it is that we need to take and not be pikers. Number two, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4 first. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. The second point, we have pikers. Next, we have puke pots. And so here's the thing is that Pastor Dobson was in the Navy, just like my dad was in the Navy. He was 14 months on one ship. And every day, I remember when he was preaching this sermon, I thought it was kind of funny. Every day, he would toss his cookies. And I'm trying to put it as politically correct as possible. And so here's the thing is, he would go into the kitchen, and he would find the 1 gallon used can of pork and beans. And that was his receptacle, he called it, or his puke pot. And I'll never forget the story of my wife. I wasn't there. And if you've ever heard Brother Teff's sermon on Don't Be a Vomit Chunk, most of the time my wife is the illustration because something about her vomiting in the van. And, and so I've also heard stories about Vladimir and other things. We won't go into that. And so, but here's the thing is that I'll never forget, I was working on an ambulance in Saginaw. I worked with a woman named Jillian one time, and she was a sympathetic vomiter. If somebody in the ambulance started vomiting, then she would start vomiting too. And everybody would go for the trash can and they'd have to share. And, so we'd always tease her and start making vomiting noises and then she, you know, and, but anyways, so here's the thing is that what's interesting about it is that anybody that's been sick knows this. A puke pot has an odor in it. Even cleaning it wouldn't take the stench away. And so a puke pot is someone that listens to all the nasty and rotten gossip or bad attitudes. And you think they're coming to visit? No, they just want to puke on you. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. We all, maybe you guys don't, I don't know, but I think we all kind of have a tendency. All you got to do is go to a crowded room and hear and say, did you hear about Jackie? And everybody's ears perk up. And anyways, here's the thing is, I think we're all kind of prone to that. Maybe you aren't. I don't know. Maybe I'm confessing my sins now. But the thing about it is I tell you what, we've got to be careful about being a puke pot. And, the thing about it is that when someone has an ear that will listen to any complaining, gossip, or slander that one listens to is a puke pot. And some people are eager to be a puke pot. And I'll be honest with you, I think the ones that aren't are the ones that have to work on it. And so the thing about it is that, I remember one time Pastor Dobson told a story about how someone came to him and said, Pastor Dobson, I want to talk to you about one of your staff members. And he says, well, you know what? I don't want to talk about it right now. We're getting ready to do the church service, and I don't want to talk about anything bad before church service. He said, why don't you meet me in my office after church? And the guy, the person was like, oh, okay. All right. So Pastor Dobson walked in, and this guy walked in, and he said, have a seat. He said, just one moment. And he went and got that staff member and sat him right down. He's like, wait a minute, I don't want to talk to him in front of him. He's like, well, listen, either you want a problem solved or you just want to be a puke pot. He says, if you want to be a puke pot, get out of my office. And so the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. He was a little more harsh than I could probably get away with. But the thing about it is that, listen, puke pots attract a gossip and bad attitudes. Why? They now have a receptacle. They stink from the stench of what was received. And I'll be honest with you, a puke pot tends to have an attitude that stinks. You know, the thing about it is when I take ashamedly I'll say there's been times in my life where I've taken and maybe been a puke pot as regards to a boss or sometimes somebody that was in authority. And I'll be honest with you, what I ended up realizing was that the more I became a puke pot, the more my attitude stunk. And just a little bit of a testimony, and not a good testimony, but a bad testimony. And so the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, a puke pot has an attitude that stinks. And I know this is uncouth and nasty, but you know what? It's true. And this will try and close the door to heaven. Now, I know that the Bible says that Jesus is the way. And here's the thing is what I'm saying is when I refer to this is, you know what? There's times where we can be a hindrance for somebody getting saved. And the example that I use, and I'll be honest with you, this is one that really saddens me, is when I was about Dallas's age, I was probably about as active as Elijah. And here's the thing is that I was misbehaving on the church bus. And I'll never forget, there's a young boy there that was brand new. He was a visitor, never gone to church before. But the sad part about it is that I was misbehaving, and my mom was leading the program, and my dad was driving, and my sisters were helping, and I felt convicted to witness to this kid. So I slid over the seat, and I looked at him, and I said, "Do you know 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd be on your way to heaven?" That little boy looked at me and says, "You've been misbehaving. I want nothing to do with you." And I blew my opportunity. That young man never came back. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved. I pray for him a lot, because one of the saddest things to me would be is that I had an opportunity to witness to him, and I closed the door. My actions were closing the door to heaven, so to speak. The thing about it is you know what? When we take and we are a puke pot, and we're running around gossiping, and we're doing this, I'll be honest with you, visitors walk through the door, we're closing the door to heaven to them. The chances are they're not going to come to a church, and I don't believe our church is like this. I believe our church is one of the friendliest in town. But the thing about it is you know what? I believe that if a visitor walks in the back door and all we're doing is gossiping, backbiting, and stabbing our fellow Christians, then you know what? They're going to turn right around and walk out the door and say, you know what? I want no part of that. I'll be honest with you. One of the greatest parts about this church is you walk through those front doors, and I'll be honest with you, there are a group of guys that have a blast. And you know what? I think that's a great testimony. There's not a Sunday that goes by that, you know what? There's not a whole lot of laughing and joking around in the lobby. And I think that's a great testimony for our church. And so, but the thing about it is that, listen, we need to make sure that we're not puke pots. Number three is pussyfooters. And so a person that just won't take a stand. Some people won't even get mad at the devil. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. See, the thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. Part of the reason I preached this message was I wanted my kids to have a message just like I had when I was their age. So a message that I could take and apply to my lives, and it would make me a better person. And the thing about it is that Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 through 24, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And anyways, the thing about it is you know what? There are some things worth fighting for. You know, the thing about it is if, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't like fighting and I don't like confrontation. And the thing about it is I know that some people avoid certain churches because of that. I spoke to a guy in Mansfield. He was leaving. It wasn't a church like ours, but he was leaving a church because he said church politics, church politics. And I said, well, what are you talking about, church politics? He's like, there's too much fighting going on. He says, nobody can agree. Nobody puts God first. He says, they fight. They like fighting. And there's no joking around. He says, you walk into the church and you can cut the tension with a knife. And the thing about it is that, listen, there are certain things worth fighting about, though. There are certain things that are definitely not worth fighting about. And it's kind of like I heard a preacher the other day talks about too many times Christians shoot their wounded. And the thing about it is that there are certain things worth fighting for. For instance, if somebody starts saying that the word of God is not the word of God, that's worth fighting for. Thing about it is when somebody says, hey, listen, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that's worth fighting for. Thing about it is when somebody says, hey, listen, you know, it's okay to bring rock music into the Christian church, that's worth fighting for. When somebody says, hey, listen, you know what, the standards and convictions in the Bible, you know what, we don't have to live the way God wants us to live. Hey, listen, it's something worth fighting for. And the thing about it is you know what, when somebody starts saying that sin is no longer sin, that's worth fighting for. And the thing about it is when somebody stands up and says homosexuality is just another alternative lifestyle, that's worth fighting for. God calls it an abomination. God calls it a sin, and therefore we should too. Thing about it is what's wrong with America is too many times we justify sin. We justify, and not just the sin in somebody else's life, we justify the sin in our own lives. We think, you know what? I've heard it before, not necessarily in a church setting, but you know what? God and I have an understanding. I'll be honest with you. You and God do have an understanding, but it's not what you think it is. The understanding is you're a sinner, and unless you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to split hell wide open. And once we get saved, we become a child of God, and you know what? God expects us to live a certain way. And it's not necessarily for Him to keep His thumb on us and ruin all of our time. It's so that we can have joy, and we can have peace, and we can experience the blessings that only come from walking with God. But the thing about it is there are some things worth fighting for. We have satanic-minded people in our schools and on our television trying to teach our children things that are opposite of the Word of God. We need to learn how to stand. We need to learn how to stand. We need to learn how to take a stand on this book right here. The thing about it is that they teach... You know, the thing about it is there's so many philosophies out in the world, and the young adults were teaching about child rearing. And I'll be honest with you, we just talked this morning about it, and we said, you know what? We need to get back to this book and the philosophies on child rearing that this book provides. And if we want anything but a child that's given, that you know what, walks away from God, if we want them to have any chance at all, we've got to live by this book right here. And we've got to live by an example. The thing about it is when they see mom and dad bend when somebody says, well, you know what, something contrary to the Word of God, I'll be honest with you, it sends a wrong signal. When we take and as parents, and we don't live the kind of lifestyle that we preach, the thing about it is it sends a wrong signal. We need some people that are willing to take a stand. We need some people that are willing to take a stand with their children, with their grandchildren, with the bus kids, with the visitors. And the thing about it is I'm not talking about preaching to them when they walk in the door, but I'm talking about living a life where when the pastor gets up to preach, they don't look at this and look at us and say, why are the two different? And so the thing about it is we need to learn how to take a stand. Next thing is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Bible says in verses 13 and 14, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. The thing about it is one of the biggest reasons, and the fourth point was panty-waisted men. Some of the points are kind of interesting. They kind of grab your attention. But the thing about it is one of the reasons that this church is successful is because we have some real men that decided to lead their homes towards God instead of letting the world have them. And I'll be honest with you, that was the case in Pasco, Washington, and that's the case in here. I believe that we've got some men that stand up and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? In this house, we are going to follow after God. God commands us to live holy, and so therefore, bless God, we're living holy. And the thing about it is you know what? We have a dearth in the land of men to stand up and say, you know what? Bless God. You know what? I will be the spiritual leader in the home. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be like this verse, and I'm going to be a true man. And you know what? Bless God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, the thing about it is the fatherless society is killing America and killing our homes in America. You know, the thing about it is when a woman is spiritually leading the home, it is usually because there's a panty-waisted sissy instead of a real man. And I'll be honest with you, the thing about it is, and not necessarily so in this church, but all across America, you don't go to very many churches before you see women that are leading the homes because the man is at home instead of being in church. The woman's reading her Bible, and the man doesn't know what the Bible says. The thing about it is you know what? We need more men that stand up and say, you know what? I will be a real man. Real men follow God. Amen. The pacifist doesn't build a church. They just let him die. We need to stick with the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. You know, too many times we take and we decide that certain traditions are more important. But you know what? We need to turn loose of the traditions and use the Word of God to see folks saved and lives changed. Then you have the parasite. Parasites as a plant or an animal living off of another organism. It's usually the folks that refuse to support the work that are the biggest critics. Those who don't work with the children have an opinion on how it should be done. Those who don't teach a Sunday school class are offended that there's gaps. Here's the thing is that this was Pastor Dobson's outline. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, anytime I get critical of a certain thing, I always look, how involved am I? And the thing about it is too many times I find myself, and I feel like I'm going to the priest. I'm not, though. But the thing about it is too many times when I find myself critical, I ask myself, because of this message that I heard as just a little child, how involved am I, and how much am I a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem? And so the thing about it is that most of the time what I find is that when I'm the most critical, I'm the least involved. And so here's the thing is, then you have the complainer. And plainer is definitely, or I looked it up, plainer is actually in the dictionary. And see, just real quick, and I'm going to hurry through, see how God deals with the children of Israel when they complain. I'll be honest with you, here's the thing is, you know what a lot of times we realize is? That the closer we get to God, the less we have to deal with certain things. But you know what? When we start creeping away from God, a lot of these things we start battling with a little more. And I don't think that we ever get to the point where we're sinless, because the pastor talked about that this morning. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the thing about it is you know what? It'd be like this. Rusty comes over to my house. I have a nice steak, just exactly the way he likes it. I have fish, because I know he loves fish, right next to it. I have potatoes, and I have green beans, and I have everything just so. I spent a good 50, 60 bucks on this meal. And he walks in, and he says, the steak is too rare. The fish is gross. Here's the thing is, you feel like, now, Rusty isn't that way. That's why I used him as that illustration. But the thing about it is you know what? Listen, the Bible talks about God loves a cheerful giver. And if you can't give cheerfully, then you need to go somewhere and get on your knees and don't get up until you can give God cheerfully. The thing about it is you know what? I don't believe that's just in our treasures. You know what? In our time. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when we get tired is the times that we battle the flesh the most. And, you know, here's the thing is we've just done 2.5 days of, 2.5 days of driving. I have to guard myself very closely. And, cause I'm tired. But the thing about it is that, listen, God loves a cheerful giver. When we get up in the morning and we decide that church is a chore, hey, listen, God loves a cheerful giver. When we get up and we decide that our ministry is a chore, God loves a cheerful giver. And, you know what? You know what's interesting? And here's the thing is there's so many people that I could use as an illustration here at this church. But you know what? I've never heard Jackie complain about playing the piano. And we abuse the snot out of her for the piano playing. Here's the thing. She plays for just every service, special music, special events, you know, you name it. If somebody gets a wild hair, hey, Jackie. And but anyways, the thing about it is that's a good example of being a cheerful giver. Somebody that is in their spot day in and day out. And you know what? Is cheerfully. And the thing about it is that, you know what? Let's decide to be more like the Beatitudes and less like the woes. Let's decide to encourage others to get saved and grow in grace rather than shut the door of heaven with our actions. The question is tonight is, I know, I'll be honest with you, this is a sermon that it's something that I still have to work on, even after hearing it all the way from a little child until now. But how are we doing tonight? Has the Holy Spirit convicted us of something tonight? Did we find ourselves in one of these categories or are losing in one of these categories? Are we in the blesseds? Are we in the woes? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, my goal tonight was to be a blessing. I'll be honest with you, so many years back, this sermon was a blessing to me. Dear Heavenly Father, it was truths out of your word that made the difference. I'll be honest with you, I feel like I haven't mastered any of them. But I constantly needed reminded of these woes that the Pharisees had. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to not be like the pikers, puke pots, and pussyfooters. I pray that you help us to draw closer to you. Help us to be used by you. Dear Heavenly Father, this ministry has lasted for so many years because there's been faithful folks that said, you know what, I'm going to sell out to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that there's a lot of faithful folks here. But dear Heavenly Father, like we've seen so many times throughout the years, the Bible says Satan desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. Dear Heavenly Father, I've seen some people that are stronger Christians than me fall to many of these areas. I'll be honest with you, when it comes down to the Christian life, I run scared, so to speak. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you protect us from these things that would destroy our church. Protect us from these things that would shut the door to heaven, so to speak. Dear Heavenly Father, I really believe that the desire of everyone in this room is to see souls and see lives, see souls saved and lives changed. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you continue to do that. In Jesus' name, Pastor.